All right, and welcome to Fast Break Breakfast NBA Podcast. My name is Keith. I'm here, as always, with my buddies John and Chuck. Chuck, what did you have for breakfast today?
Well, I don't know if you guys know this, but Sonic had 50 cent corn dogs.
Ooh-wee!
In the morning?
They serve their food all day long. There's no breakfast. This is Sonic because
Sonic
they do it
has,
right.
Or is it like a Tuesday they have?
This Tuesday for Memorial Day, which was yesterday. You'll probably hear this on Wednesday. But this is Tuesday. They did their Tuesday 50 cent corn dog in remembrance of those who have fallen in the name of the country.
Interesting.
So thank you, Sonic. I once sprained an ankle bad enough for the government to give me a pension for the rest of my life. So I guess I'm a wounded veteran. I just did it running.
You got that Purple Heart?
Yeah. It was during PT. I was running at night, and I turned my ankle on a pothole.
Case of beer, underarm.
Is that Pink Heart, Blue
Sprinting
Heart?
Sprinting back to the barrack.
I can't give you guys explicit details of how it happened, because it might remove it from me, but...
Yeah, do we need to scrub this?
No.
Do we need to pause and retrack this?
If someone from the VA is listening right now, just keep it real hush-hush.
Yeah. John, what did you have for breakfast?
Well, I had quite the breakfast because I had a Memorial Day cookout wherein I did not invite my one veteran friend, whom is Chuck.
Yep. Didn't get an invite.
Well, he's not dead.
That is true.
Mm-hmm.
But speaking of, Chuck, you ever kill anybody?
Indirectly.
That's awesome.
Well, I mean, my tax dollars, I assume, help.
Yeah. Well, you killed people in the same way I killed people.
All right,
but
good.
The missiles I worked on were paid for in 1982.
Again, so. I've mentioned this. My 90-year-old grandmother helped build an atomic bomb. So
she did.
Boom.
And she also thinks, was it Jarnell Stokes?
Jarnell Stokes
is super slow.
Yeah. She's
slow nuclear granny.
She's sharp.
I took all of the leftover things I had from the cookout, such as like Brussels sprouts and shallots and stuff, and I made some hash this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Some Brussels sprout hash. Good. With a balsamic glaze.
That should make our I feel like our Trailblazer fans happy.
Indeed.
They love a balsamic hash. I think they have multiple.
And they like to get glazed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well,
so the Nuggets fans too.
I want to say you could find a Brussels sprout hash on every corner in Portland.
Oh, yeah.
That city's the future.
Mm-hmm. Love it.
I had for breakfast very similar leftover cookout type things. I had some cantaloupe. And a strawberry loaf cake.
Loaf cake?
I'll be real.
Go on.
The strawberry loaf cake, very lacking, very disappointing. I wouldn't even consider it
more
to be...
More loaf than cake?
I wouldn't even consider it to be sweet enough for breakfast, let alone dessert.
Oh, dear.
It was not very good.
More Perhaps. Of a tart.
Was that made by a vegan?
I don't... No. This was bought at a store. This was not attempting to be a savory... delicacy. This was just a poorly made cake.
My cookout was my band members and their wives, and one of my band members' wife is a vegan, and everything she cooks tastes like just like grains,
mm-hmm.
like flavorless grains. And my old lady, who's pretty good in the kitchen, saw that she brought the same dish, and out of kindness, put. Hid hers in the back of the fridge, so we were forced to eat the weird Veganaise nightmare food.
Veganaise.
And I scolded her and shamed her.
You should. That's grounds for a night on the couch for the old lady.
It was some sort of bean salad.
Ugh.
Yeah.
That is not honoring any of our fallen veterans.
We need to make sure that Fast Break Breakfast disapproves of that wholeheartedly.
Absolutely. We look for excellence in all things basketball and breakfast.
That's okay. When I do the cookout, I take such pride in everything I'm grilling, except for that vegan burger I throw on there. Just take it straight out of the freezer.
Boom.
Plop it on the grill. Just kind of let it do whatever.
Just kind of like an FU
kind
of meal form.
Smirk at it every once in a while.
That's true.
Let it touch the other raw
On a
meats.
Vegan burger, are you supposed to seal those juices in? Is it the same principles?
Yeah, do it with wheatgrass.
I shudder to think about how many hours in my life I've just thought about searing the juices in.
Yeah.
I think that's what...
As an American
I think
man,
that's what a lot of people are supposed to... I heard a horror story of... and I related to it. I feel like there is still in our society that pressure, some gender role pressure like a lot of it is, you know, we have all the negative things of women being put into roles and, you know, unequal pay, these type of things.
However, willing to talk about this as long as it doesn't extend to Mad Max Fury Road.
No. Exactly. No. On the grill,
yes,
there is pressure for the male in the household to be the grill master.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
You know, that's still, society is still doing that. Perhaps not in,
again, it's as an important a role as the birthing hips of a woman.
But the problem is a buddy of mine, actually one of our mutual friends and listener, Jamie Holland, had a friend who was going through an awkward experience where his father-in-law was the grill master. Well, air quotes on the grill master, didn't know what he was doing.
Oh.
And so then it was the awkward of like the son-in-law being like, I kind of want to show them that you need to seal those juices in.
You can only,
and it's an awkward situation,
be granted permission to even use another man's grill.
Oh yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
No, there's,
like, I'm a person.
If you walk up and like grab my tongs,
I'll get out of here.
Pistols at dawn, my friend.
Right.
I am no grill master. Right. So I ask for help a lot.
Oh, okay.
I say, like, I'm always looking for help. Like, yeah. I feel like I'm a novice. I don't feel like I grew up doing this. I feel no innate manly knowledge at it. So again, I'm
the way I am with a grill is if a drunken friend asks me to use his grill, I won't, because I don't think he's able to give consent in that state. So
that's on that note,
yes means yes.
That's perfect. That's now let's move on to basketball. Gotten our breakfast talk out of the way. Now we move on to our breakfast in bed apologies. This is our opportunity to make right what we might have gotten wrong in any of our previous 30-some episodes. Does anyone have an apology they would like to share?
I'll go first. I'd like to apologize to Hawks fans for the heartless, gutless, ankle-less performance of their team. I know you've been stricken by injury, but it honestly has been a tough team to watch in this series and in the past. They just kind of, they got the easiest path there, and now when they're up against kind of a neutered Cavs team, just getting dominated.
No,
even in that overtime game, that took, like, LeBron was doing that thing where he was kicking to wide-open Matthew Dellavedova over and over again, and he was just missing everything, and Iman Shumpert, and they're shooting threes when they're up 10 early in the shot clock.
I mean,
it's just like, okay, well, I guess they're going to let the Hawks back in this, but then, of course, the Hawks barely did anything in overtime.
I feel sad because you had they had such a fantastic regular season.
Yeah.
And they started off so incredibly. They had that big, the 19 game winning streak. But then down the stretch of the season, they struggled and it looked like they weren't hitting their full stride. The playoffs have been a struggle. I'm happy for them and I'm happy for Atlanta fans that they did make it to the conference finals. But it has been awful.
Chuck has said,
As a indifferent person or someone who just kind of, with the vague regionalism of us in Nashville, right, kind of pulling for them, it's like the games have been tough to watch. And again, they made the conference finals, but it's been ugly.
If I wasn't sporting a Amy Winehouse level hangover, then I probably would have looked up. Chuck has claimed multiple times this Hawks team is the worst conference finals teams he has seen.
Worst number one overall
seed.
He says
the worst number one.
Yeah.
I just think it's that they're just filthy. I don't know how they were that good. Maybe it's Budenholzer's system was figured out, because earlier on in the season they were a juggernaut, and as the season progressed, they got just less and less effective and efficient. And I think maybe that's what it is, that Budenholzer tried. Well, he figured out a way to optimize those guys, and the league adjusted, and now everybody knows their ticks.
Well, I definitely think he's been a little bit exposed as a system coach, as a good system coach as opposed to a good in-game coach, because he's blown every single end of half call that you can blow.
There's been, and a lot of it is roster, in the fact that I think in the regular season the guys were playing out of their minds, and he was getting the most he could absolutely get from his players. And because, I mean, again, no one going into the season thought the Hawks would win 60 games. And so they were clicking in the regular season. And yeah, so then it gets to the playoffs. Everything tightens. Everything slows a little bit. And then, again, those Schroeder jumpers were going in. The Mike Scott jumpers were going in. Yeah. They have missed Thabo Sefolosha. Horford and Millsap
you know, it still seems like to me they're banged up because they just seem outmatched.
They're banged up and they don't like to bang down low either.
Yeah. Right.
And you have to do that more.
Millsap's apparently going to have off-season shoulder surgery. So
he was hurt at the end of the year with that shoulder.
So, you know, that's a big part of it.
And then Korver started missing a few shots and then got injured. It's been a bad way to go out.
They've been delivered multiply.
Yeah.
Right.
You know it's bad when, you know, super smooth Dominican Al Horford is throwing elbows. You know, he should be dancing bachata and
dropping elbows.
Drinking Brugal in the, you know.
This kind of comes close to my apology. My apology is to Matthew Dellavedova. And this is going to be not talking about the his various role or implicated roles in ejections and injuries.
Is this scrappy Patriots wide receiver, Matthew Dellavedova?
He does seem like a...
That's how they describe him.
Yeah.
Even Barkley uses the exact same...
He's an Amendola Wilker prototype?
Yeah, he's like a Julian Edelman scrappy.
That's so funny. Intellectual. No, I hadn't thought of that.
It's like weird coded language, reverse coded language.
My apology is just the idea of this undersized, you know, scrappy point guard playing any meaningful minutes on a good team kind of tickled my funny bone. It cracked me up. I thought it was a huge... And it probably is a huge problem with the Cavs' roster. But he actually...
He led a game in scoring.
Instead of being a big negative, he's had his moments. He in that closeout game against the Bulls, just torched him. And then, again, in this Hawks series, he's playing so, like, full starters minutes, pretty much.
He's starting the game.
Yeah, he started a game. He started a conference finals game that his team won by 19.
Yes. Yeah.
So that is, again, watching him, again... Dude, from his career, this is blowing my mind. I'm staggered. And yes, he might be he's now chasing down Steven Adams, destroyer of worlds, for the most number of players he has caused to get ejected list.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's done either.
And I think he still has.
Draymond Green and he are not going to get along.
I saw a question.
Matt Barnes?
I saw a question on Twitter. Who's going to be the first player to shiv Dellavedova? Mm-hmm. And I believe it's going to be Draymond once he dives at Curry's feet.
Yes.
When Dellavedova goes diving at Curry's ankles for something.
Those glass ankles?
We're going to see.
Take that. Harrison Barnes is going to show people that it may not be the most frightening name, Harrison Barnes, but he'll play the most dangerous game.
It is definitely the name of a boarding school student.
Absolutely. I'm pretty sure I went to school with a few Harrison Tripp Barnes the Fourth.
Yes, he's playing for the Pacers in a year or two, for sure.
Right.
So my apology is to any Miami Heat fan out there that I gave hope last week, thinking that the Cavs had any holes in their armor against what feels like us dogpiling on the Hawks today.
Well, we're down to very few teams.
Yeah, we don't have much. we're kind of squeezing the stone for water.
Well, I think
right
it's
now.
Because the Rockets have showed like a lot of fire and resilience,
and actually we're in games.
Yeah, and the Hawks, like, it's they're really depressing.
We went most of the year ignoring all their good,
yes.
And so now we're
we
just
really
going to focus on their bad.
We really didn't give them any love all season. But I really didn't think they were a thing.
But you know why? I don't know if our national listeners know why. We've talked about it before. The reason we don't give them any love in the regular season is they are blacked out in Nashville, Tennessee.
Right.
If you pay for cable and pay for League Pass, Atlanta does not broadcast their games because we get Grizzlies games and they're not on League Pass. And I've contacted multiple people with the Hawks telling them, you realize we can't watch your games and they do not care.
I dare say.
So now their games are nationally televised.
You're like the unsuccessful Twitter Robin Hood.
It's true.
I've even gone
to email.
Oh.
I've exchanged emails with people in the Hawks organization.
You could always just illegally stream it.
I do.
He does.
No, I mean, I'm
Keith's committed.
How are any Hawks fan, how are they going to expand their brand if little kids growing up in Nashville can't watch their games?
3 hours away. Right.
Correctamundo. Yeah.
So anyway, that's why we haven't covered their good, because you know, I don't like watching those illegal streams because I can't pause them. Can't DVR them.
You can't DVR. That's right. You have to watch the game live.
Those
which
streams
is,
are bizarre. What is the name of the website that most people use?
Front Row.
Why does it look like it's Russian, like a Russian feed? It's like bouncing off of an ancient satellite.
Well, I think a lot of it is European type feeds where that they don't care as much about.
I would watch them if I could get some like sweet Iberian commercials.
Oh, yeah.
Like, sometimes you get the studio. You get the studio shows of like I think it's like a Sky Network or some Brit. You have a couple British guys.
Those are so bad.
I love them. Yeah. I mean, how could they be worse? Come on. I mean, Reggie Miller talking about Al Horford.
Oh man,
Horford.
Spending time overseas and watching the British sportscasts of NFL games was made me appreciate what I had previously hated.
They always have one NFL, ex-NFL player who you just forgot.
Oh, you're
like, yeah. Who is that?
What they used, no kidding, for NFL on Sky Network, it wasn't even a former NFL player. Former college baseball player.
He's American.
Yes.
That's all they need there.
He knew what he was talking about.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't, it's pretty much the same thing here. And if you watch soccer, it's Alexi Lalas who...
Yeah.
Who cares? He did something 100 years ago in soccer.
He's a fool, too.
Yeah. With that red hair.
Tiva wearing ass hat.
Oh, we just, this is great. We're just putting down every sport.
That's it. We're just so negative. It's beautiful.
All right. Let's get off the negative.
You didn't get mine.
Oh, I thought you were apologizing to the. Did you have more to say?
Well, to the.
You said,
well, really, like.
Keep going.
I'm just angry. You know, I'm really pissed. Like
for the Heat fans out there,
rightfully hates LeBron as they should in his headbandless nonsense, trying to save his
hair
plugs.
He is milking this like all this him collapsing onto the court because his conditioning is bad.
No, that wasn't it. I thought he was praying to the base god.
Well, he could have been praying.
That's what he was doing.
God's gotten a lot of work.
I gotta say, this Heat fan sounds scorned.
Oh,
you know, it's been a while.
Wow. I do.
It's been nearly, I would say, months since we've had a scorned Heat fan texts a friend. This is a reminder. These were texts Chuck sent to John in the summer of 2014. However, this one will be
playoff edition.
A scorned Heat fan texts a friend, present day playoff edition.
Man. LeBron's stat line.
Took him 37 shots, though.
But I want him to be inefficient for me.
And there you have it. That is a scorned Heat fan. Text a friend. Present day.
Missing the inefficiencies of old.
Playoff edition.
He's been extra hateable this series.
His offense... He's doing all of these off the dribble pull up threes where he's just shooting like 30 something, 32% on those shots.
No, shooting 16%.
Oh, on threes.
Threes. Or is it from three?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
He finally hit one to win the game.
I'm just getting tired of this. Him looking like, one, on his behalf or in his defense. They got very little going on on offense. They, again, he keeps swinging it to Dellavedova, who is the star of our show.
Yes.
And that's silly.
Outback Jesus.
But also him acting so tired after these games, again, is like, I think you should work out harder. This has now been a multiple things where you've had cramps, had problems, even when the air conditioner is working.
He's averaged, and I think I said this last season, or last show, he's averaged 97 games a year for 10 years.
Right. That's a lot.
Which is a lot of mileage to put on a big body. And, you know, I just think I think it would have been better for him if he didn't force the Love trade, because Love's gone. I'm going to put it out there.
He just basically demanded they re-sign Tristan Thompson today.
Right. And, you know,
hey, LeBron, he plays Kevin's position.
Right. Tristan Thompson is right. I mean, he's playing well.
He is.
But he's averages 9-9
right
player.
Which is decent, but...
It's decent.
It's Udonis Haslem 5 or 6 years ago. Or 9 years ago. I think would have been better not making the playoffs this year. Taking it on the chin, building a team instead of trying to push himself. He could have used a playoff rest.
He might win the finals.
He won't. Might they're win not the championship.
I think it's more impressive for him. I mean, one, obviously, if they would have kept Wiggins, that's incredible.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
That's just crazy to think
about.
And
talking about not having to put the miles on his body, you let that kid develop him
but
and Kyrie.
But it's also him making however many straight finals. Is this like six?
Five?
Six?
Five. This is five.
What is four?
Four in Miami, and this is
and
five.
And this would be five?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's made
that's
five
incredible.
Finals. That's incredible, but it's going to become... I think it would have been better for him not to make the playoffs than to make another finals and miss. And they're not.
It would have been.
That team is not prepared to beat the Warriors. We all can agree that.
It gives me no joy to shoot your plan down.
Stop it.
There's almost no way LeBron would not make the playoffs.
Well, you're right.
I mean, that's like impossible.
Not in the East, not this year. No, but you're right. But
nevertheless.
I mean, even the
nevertheless,
Heat
will you let me? Oh, wait. Will you let me have my fantasy where you didn't make the playoffs and was at home this year?
Right.
Could you? Just let me have it?
All right. We'll let you have it.
Damn.
He had a moment that was exceedingly hateable at the end of the Hawks-Cavs game that went to overtime where he he got the ball stolen from him, laid on the court for, 19 seconds as the other team went the other way. Oh. Mike Scott stupidly drove to the basket and said them basically they could have almost run the clock out on the game.
Right.
But then here's the thing that got me. On the next play, LeBron, on the foul after that, LeBron starts to ask out of the game and starts heading towards the bench.
Right.
And then, I'm sure the whole bench was just looking at him horrified. And it's like, dude, there's 10 seconds left.
Yeah.
And he gets all the way over to the bench and he's like, oh, no, oh, no, I ain't coming out. And it was just like, what is going on?
No.
Don't you realize there are cameras on you at all times?
And
you're a fool.
So, and then after the Hawks game a few days back, he says, quote, my guys came to play for me tonight. And that's why we were able to get a win. So,
right.
Coach LeBlatt. As we're calling him now in our text messages, what you see
Maverick
is
Maverick LeBlatt.
Maverick, he's such a nightmare.
Can we just call him Goose?
I think if we put the projections forward, LeBron is only going to be talking about himself in the third person like a professional wrestler in 2 years. I mean, there's no he's
at 0.5 Ricky Henderson right now.
It was better. It was
again. It's tough when you grew up in a bubble. Which is what he's grown up. He hasn't had a regular social interaction since he was 12.
We've 15, said it before. He has someone cut up his food for him.
Right.
His steaks.
All right. So I think we are now ending the apologies. So anyway, we got a little scattered, some other covered.
Let's been doing that lately.
But we've been negative. That's because we're excited. We're talking about the playoffs.
We are bitter fans of other teams.
We are now no longer on point. We are now just bitter and angry.
Yes.
Let's get positive. What's the best thing you saw in the last week? The conference finals, there have been some, maybe two good games.
Our steak and eggs.
What is your steak and eggs best thing?
My best thing is Joey Crawford falling. That's it.
It's almost a negative, but okay.
Nope. My best. What was great about it was the
taking
first,
Joey in error.
The first two rows of people at the Toyota Center at the same time clapping for Jason Terry making a layup and afterwards pointing at Joey Crawford and clapping at him that he fell. So it was beautiful. It was a great moment.
That's perfect.
Ah, sweet Schadenfreude.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it's James Harden's, performance in this series has been sublime. Three really amazing games capped off with the most efficient 45-point playoff game ever.
That game... I mean, most efficient over 40 point, and scored 45. Obviously, pretty much won the game
on 22 shots.
Not even counting an 80 footer.
Yes,
yeah.
Like he was on fire that whole game. Scored 45, and then he didn't even count that one that he made from 80 feet away.
Right, full court.
That's the best case scenario for me.
Oh, Keith,
James
loves.
Harden taking a full court shot, making it, but it doesn't count. I love it. Yeah. I win on all counts.
It's like the Paul Pierce shot.
One of the interesting things about James Harden's incredible series, I mean, he's had three very good games and one dog of a game. And in these good games, he isn't getting to the line quite as much. He's actually, wait for it.
Whoa.
Playing basketball. He's actually hitting shots. Like just abusing his defenders, and it is glorious. It is so awesome.
You would think that he's almost trying not to draw fouls because of the rumblings of the NBA trying to limit the foul shot. Glut.
I mean, this is literally it shows that he can do it. I know it's probably easier, I guess, during the regular season just to make the parade to the line, and when the shot's not there, you have to get to the line, and he's probably the best at that. But as a neutral to anti-Houston fan, who someone who doesn't really like the Rockets that much, they've been really fun to watch. Like when James Harden is on and his entire repertoire isn't just trying to get fouled. He's hitting these awesome step back shots, and then that sets up his drives, and he's been incredible to watch. So that's been a very, a pleasant twist.
He's not one of my favorite players because of his style. Although I like the herky jerky old man game stuff, but it's just too many foul shots. It makes for boring games. But you just can't deny the performance he's had. In three of these four games, he's just been sublime.
I mean, he's carrying the Rockets. I mean, yeah. I guess it's obvious, but then it's like they're playing a team that is so good, and it came out this week, you know, historically good, another win, 538, talking about, you know, one of the greatest teams ever. He is single-handedly trying to face one of the greatest teams ever.
He's outplaying the MVP of the league.
And it's really, and again, and Steph Curry's been no slouch. Steph Curry's been incredible. Move on. My best thing, my steak and eggs is Steph Curry, as you said. And it is Steph Curry beating one athletically gifted 6'11 basketball prodigy, Dwight Howard, for a rebound.
This is Much Ado About Nothing. Happens four times a game.
It really doesn't.
It does.
A 6'2", 6'3" guard posts, like, he boxes out Dwight Howard. Dwight Howard, with the proper effort, with one slide of your hip, moves Steph Curry easily out of the way. Dwight Howard has no interest in bodying up this person.
Mm-mm.
He doesn't know it's Steph Curry, but again, a good rebounder
doesn't care.
A good rebounder would have felt the pressure of someone boxing him up and then stepped to move the person out of the way. And then a rebounder who can jump higher and is taller would have then used that leverage to jump way over him, grab the rebound. The fact that Steph beat him, for me, was everything.
Like, I will
agree. That guy's working hard.
I will agree that Dwight Howard is not a good rebounder. He is a great rebounder, and he's rebounded great in the playoffs.
He's a gifted. Yeah, he's had great rebounding numbers. He's a gifted rebounder. I'm just saying, so much of what he does is athletically based, and he doesn't work for it.
Not
as
effort.
Much.
We're saying the effort isn't there, which is loaded language.
And again, it was an important game. I mean, the game wasn't totally out of hand. It was kind of out of hand by that point. But just watching,
it's pretty out of hand.
But it was Steph. Steph blew that third quarter. Just totally blew it out of hand.
What you saw there was a man who had given up on the game.
Yeah, he'd given up
for sure.
And it also let me know that an NBA game, I could get a rebound over Dwight Howard. I got an inch or two on Steph Curry. Uh-huh. So
yeah, but he's better than you.
Well, clearly.
So maybe you couldn't.
Steph Curry probably can jump higher than you do.
Yeah, I'm certain he can. He can dunk.
Steph Curry, I would wager can jump, like, I've seen him dunk, and I think I'm about 4 inches away from what his dunk is. You know, like the barely over the.
It's like when I could dunk a tennis ball when I was like 16.
Right.
The only time in my life where I could had any athletic ability. That's what his dunks look like.
Right. All right. So now what's the opposite of that? We've been saying all negative things for a while now. Let's keep it going. What's your cream of wheat, worst of week?
Anything involving flagrant twos.
Or ones or videos.
Or lack thereof. Or point systems. Or any of this hogwash.
The point system is so worthless because the NBA has repeatedly shown they're not going to use it.
Right.
You're like, oh, Dwight Howard has this many points built up. Well, then this foul will not be the one that gets him suspended.
And then you got fouls that, by the letter of the law, like, I mean, I don't like any of these ejections. I didn't like the Horford ejection. But Dwight Howard,
awful.
By the letter of the law, that he hit him in the face, that's flagrant two, you're ejected.
Sure.
But they don't do that.
And it seemed like a worse play. Again, I'm more with you. We're like, I don't really want any of these things.
I think ejections are the worst.
J.R. Smith.
Yeah,
should have been ejected for maybe 20 games in my book for punching Jay Crowder. That was
but
grotesque.
That was more like a Rudy Tomjanovich.
That's
like
how I
life altering punch.
But then there's been so many the Dellavedova when he got Tristan Thompson ejected. That was one of my worst things of the week a few weeks ago, where I hated it.
Horford, you know, I think that was a flagrant foul. He could have really hurt Dellavedova, but he was angry and thought he had been, you know, pretty cheap shotted, which Dellavedova has done throughout the series. Dwight Howard, Bogut was holding his arm and wouldn't let him go.
And then shoved him. Yeah.
And so Howard swung his elbow, which anybody who's ever played a game at the Y has done the same thing. Didn't even really get him, like kind of just barely got him in the face with his hand, not even with the elbow. And we have all this, you know, hullabaloo, and it's just, it bores me.
Oh, it is the most boring.
And it's all you're getting from
any punditry.
And then these video
replays are 5 minutes long.
Ugh.
Of watching the thing over and over and over, and then just Jeff Van Gundy yelling about the results, or Chris Webber and...
I know why they do it, though.
Reggie Miller.
Because I'll be watching these games with a group of people, and everyone's wives or girlfriends, that's when they perk up and actually get interested. Is when these replays of potentially violent things happen.
And it's everybody. And not just wives and girlfriends. It's the people at the bar being like, oh, look at this. And they turn and they watch for a while.
It's because it's one of the things that is actually truly subjective.
Yeah.
It's like all you need is an opinion to be a participant in this.
And a Twitter account.
Yeah. Oh, and a Twitter account.
Right.
Follow us at Fast Break Break.
Yeah. My worst thing is the... I've been calling it the Mike Scott threat level midnight game. It's where Mike Scott actually got in the game, got about 32 minutes, needed him. You know, no Korver. Again, as we said, Damari's been banged up.
Heartless, gutless team. Crunch time. Shelvin Mack and Mike Scott take all of their shots.
Shelvin Mack's like, he's actually kind of a baller. Like, you know, I mean. He's a little miscast as a hero ball.
Well, how about you play him more in
exactly.
that game?
It's like at least that guy's he's a professional. He knows what he's out there for.
The Mike Scott game will live forever.
The Mike Scott game. It wasn't enough that he just went 3 for 9. I can get over that.
Right.
You know, he's a limited player. Good dunker, but a little out of his depth come playoffs.
Dunker. Yeah.
The end of regulation. Oh my! They had the ball with a lead. There was a 4 second differential between shot clock and game clock. He shoots the ball with 20 seconds left. They need to hold the ball until there's 4 seconds left and then hit the rim. So the ball's not rebounded till there's 1 second left. He goes and shoots a shot with 20 seconds left. It gets blocked. It's a turnover. And in the scrum, Damari Carroll gets a loose ball foul.
Blocked by J.R. Smith. I might
literally add. One. Ugh. I mean, just about the worst thing you could possibly do. It would have been much better for him to just throw the ball out of bounds. You're still winning at this point. You can still play defense.
A better play for him, literally, would be to grab the ball and throw it as high as he could in the air.
Agreed.
It would have taken again, more time off the clock.
So he makes the worst play ever that, again, gets then the Cavs to tie it, ends up going into overtime. Then later in this overtime period, there's a ball going out of bounds right in front of him that Damari Carroll has knocked out on trying to rebound, and he just lets it goes out.
Yes.
He blocks out the ghosts around him.
Right.
And makes sure none of those haints are going to get to it.
he thinks that it's gone out on the other team. Still, the better play is just to grab the ball.
Just grab the ball, man.
God.
Mike Scott.
It was some JaVale McGee, Shaqt and a Fool level stuff.
It made me really wish they hadn't traded Adrian Payne.
Yeah.
Like, they need some... Like, what does it take to get Austin Day in the game?
Yeah, that's a Adrian Payne I think play Austin for Day, Tom Izzo.
I don't think Austin Day is playoff eligible. I think he was signed too late.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, that was my... that's my worst thing.
Long live the Mike Scott game.
My worst is... Damari Carroll speaking about Matthew Dellavedova. He asked this question to a reporter. Can he speak English?
Hmm.
Now, I'm going to go ahead and say I'm calling it the worst on the thought that it's actually him thinking that he's not Australian. He has no idea that Dellavedova sounds like a gypsy name.
Yeah, oh, yes.
You know, so
Dags. I like Dags.
Dags. dogs, yes. I think it though, didn't Carroll go to
Vanderbilt? He went to Vanderbilt for a couple years.
So he's not a dumb person.
Well, a lot of dumb people go to Vanderbilt.
That's true.
But I mean, it's a little harder to get into Vanderbilt than other places.
He was a collegiate athlete at Vanderbilt.
Which means he probably was involved in some sort of rape. If I'm not wrong. That's my worst. If you don't know he's Australian, I get it. If you know he's Australian and think that, boo. If
Those
you
are
trying
are-
to be silly, then this isn't the worst. I will retroactively make it my best. In his defense,
I think there's a good chance. These quotes you get from players, they never give you the context, and all of our idiotic basketball reporters who are relaying these things don't get the players are joking.
Right.
Like, I remember after the Clippers lost the Game 7 against the... after the Spurs, sorry, lost right. Game 7 to the Clippers, Popovich was making a joke about, like, will Ginobili and Duncan come back? And he's like, well, you know, the money's pretty good. And then some reporter goes to Duncan and was like, Pop said you were probably coming back because of the money.
Jason.
And Duncan gave him like a blank look. And he's just like, you are the worst reporter. Like, how can you not relay the... Anyway.
Jason Momoa, the actor who played Khal Drogo and will now be playing Aquaman, once had to shave off all of his dreads in when he was on Stargate, I think was the name of the show.
Wow.
Because
if any of our listeners have followed this,
when he was doing all of his stunt work, he was constantly hurting himself, concussing himself somehow through his dreads. Now, Damari Carroll might have the most intricate braids and dreads of all time. So perhaps it's gone to his brain.
Maybe it's just a nut job.
The dreads are hurting him. All right, we're getting there. We've been there. Waffle House. Hassan Whiteside cocks it back to Waffle House, presents Scattered, Smothered, Covered Thoughts. We've been all over the board. A couple of numbers. Scott Foster, the referee. Hey. This has been a lot talked about. He has a streak going. He's won 9 straight games for the road team.
This has been
impressive.
Quite a run by Mr. Foster.
It's sure a lot of the games the road team has been the favorite, but still,
I believe they would call us an outlier. I'd like to see his betting slips.
that's been fun. That's been fun to follow. I actually was very curious to see if he was going to ref the game 4 Hawks in Cleveland, and he's not.
Oh, damn.
I know this is coming out. This will be coming out after that game, but he was not.
And sure enough, the Cavs are crushing the Hawks.
So Hawks, Cavs. We've pretty much been crapping all over the Hawks this whole series. I would just say one final word. This series has been embarrassing.
Yes,
it's been probably the worst Eastern Conference Finals. I don't know.
I went from rooting for the Hawks probably. Besides the Grizzlies, the team I wanted to win the most, now I despise the Hawks. I want them out of my life.
The tone for this abomination of a series was set in Game 1.
Yes.
When it was apparent that both Dennis Schroeder and Matt Dellavedova, star of this episode, had the green light.
Yeah.
They responded with 2-for-16 combined. Just chucking everything. And you're like, this is horrible. The Cavs with these injuries are no longer this exciting potential. Will they all get it together? Will they all be on the same page? Will it be great?
Well, both teams mostly just settle for jumpers and threes. And the reason the Cavs are winning is just the LeBron pick and roll with usually Mozgov.
Right. And Mozgov and Tristan Thompson are grabbing some rebounds.
Oh, and Tristan Thompson is playing like he is like some sort of sentry for LeBron that LeBron controls with his mind. And Tristan Thompson just runs in, gets the ball, never tries to put it back up, immediately throws it back out to LeBron. It's kind of amazing. I think LeBron may have developed like telekinesis.
One of the good things that Dellavedova does do is he actually does set up Tristan Thompson pretty well. He's always looking to give him a little oop or a little alley-oop. And so that's good. He's a playmaker first. You can tell.
Dellavedova on offense is fine. His defense is like borderline laugh out loud.
But let's move to Rockets Warriors. This has been a very interesting series.
It's been a lot closer than it's probably, you know, going to be a 5 at best 6 game series, but it really could have been 2-2 very easily.
I mean, if James Harden is not a miracle worker in game 4,
right.
I think the Warriors come all the way back from that 25 down.
Right.
They that was a game that was the Rockets tied the record for the most first quarter points in a playoff game with 45. And it was still pretty much riveting throughout the whole game. Even though I think the closest was 5 or 6, there was a Barbosa 3 that was halfway in that would have cut it to 3. I mean, it was terrifying
considering
for Rockets fans.
How great Golden State's defense has been all year. It was pretty remarkable the number of points that the Rockets were putting up.
Absolutely remarkable. They hit all their shots. A weird stat. Klay Thompson in the victories is 4-for-22 from 3. So Klay Thompson wasn't hitting at all. And then they were up 3-0. And then he finally hit some in game 4 and, you know, gets out of hand. Another fun stat in this playoff series, Steph Curry is 70-for-156 on 3-pointers.
Claude have mercy.
70-for-156. So that's in the playoffs. In the playoffs, yeah. Steph Curry 70 for 156 on three-pointers. Dwight Howard 60 for 152 on free throws.
Hey now. Well done, D-Ho.
So that's a remarkable comparison.
That away, RoboCop. Well, Steph has smashed the playoff record for most threes, and he did it in like 9 less games than Reggie Miller.
Yeah. Right.
And he's still going.
Mm-hmm. And he just keeps hitting 5 or more threes every game.
And
just,
they're not playing 7-game series
just
here.
Every game. It's,
no.
He's changing. I mean, basketball be changing.
Yes. 6'2", Mighty Mice flying around the court.
I don't know who said it. Talking about how Jordan inspired a bunch of lesser knockoffs.
Yeah.
You know, shooting guards, trying hard shots.
Shut up.
And now will Steph Curry, are we going to be seeing a lot of wispy, thin guards just trying goofy things?
I would really like to see a bunch of point guards who can dribble and shoot. That would be great in the NBA. You know, that would be awesome if we can do that.
I think more of the concern is the 27-foot pull-up off dribble.
Yeah.
That's not the thing you're going to want to see. Russ Smiths of the world.
Yeah, you're going to see a lot of bad Steph Curry impressions, but at the end of the day, you're going to have to learn how to dribble and shoot. So give me that. I'm good.
That is it.
Nobody could jump over everyone like Jordan. They all tried.
Right.
Nobody could dominate with a, you know, fadeaway jumper like Jordan. That took years of you know, practice for him to develop. If you can shoot a three and dribble well, you know, you might be able to be Steph Curry.
Well, that's kind of Steph's thing. It's like, I know there are guys out there who can shoot as well as he can.
I'm sorry, what?
But his handle is the best in the league right now.
That's what gives him that space for those 27 pull-ups.
He's still kind of a turnover machine when it comes to passing.
Right.
But it's all washed out. No one cares. It's just all washed away by just how effortlessly he scores. And
I mean, he puts guys like Chris Paul on skates. Like, he embarrasses people with his handle.
But there's been lots of guys who could handle that way, but can't.
It's the combo.
It's the combo of being able to hit a 26-footer with that handle without hesitating.
It's like Mark Price had sex with hot sauce in the And-1 league. And I want everyone to think about Price.
Chuck just set up
with
erect.
Hot sauce.
He's like, that was perfect.
That is a
very erect.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you have no idea.
Wide-eyed and erect.
Mm-hmm.
So, do we want to talk any about the draft lottery, which occurred?
I'm happy with it. Miami got the 10th pick, which means they didn't have to trade it to Philly in that LeBron trade.
There was nothing weird where no one lost their picks that was hoping. There was no extreme bad luck for anyone.
Except the Knicks.
I like that Philly wasn't rewarded quite as egregiously.
Right.
As usual.
Yeah, because now they have 100 second-round draft picks.
Although the All-NBA teams, which were announced, 12 of the 15 were Western Conference players, and then the top two picks in the draft going to be in the West.
Oh, dear. Dear. Can Grizzlies move to their rightful home in the East, please?
I would love a realignment. That's an Eastern Conference team from 1998. But, yeah, the Grizz are an Eastern Conference team. Feels like.
Rightful home in the East.
Yeah. There's no way.
Where we would be ransacking over the Cavs right now.
Oh, they would be they would demolish the Cavs.
I mean, the Cavs are sad because, I mean, again, we saw the injuries coming.
Right.
All the people who are hurt are people who struggle with injuries.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but it is sad. Yes, most of the West right now would be.
I mean, they trot out like
blitzkrieging this current edition of the Cavs.
They trot out like the equivalents of Sam Bowie and Yao Ming out there and expect to have amazing playoff run, but these guys are made of glass.
Right. All right, let's move on to the awards segment of this evening's program. The International Stackhouse of Pancakes Award, which goes to the worst performance in a box score. We did have a few nominees. Honorable mention goes to Jeff Teague, 5 for 16 in a game. Klay Thompson threw up a 6 for 18 in victory. Matt Dellavedova, percentages aren't very good. We have three nominees. One, Harrison Barnes, 0 for 9, scoreless, playoff Harrison.
Done.
He normally, he's been amazing, but one game.
It had to end.
0 for 9, had 6 rebounds, and no points. Josh Smith, back where you belong, 5 for 17 in a game 2 loss.
Josh Smith took 17 shots.
And not just that, he played terribly. But that is not what we're judging him on. We're judging him on the black and white numbers he puts in the newspaper. 5 for 17, 10 points, 1 rebound, 2 assists, 1 steal, 1 turnover. And then big man James Harden in a game 3.
You're desperate to give Harden embarrassment. One of these.
Well,
you're desperate to give him one.
James Harden earned this one. James Harden earned this one. Kurt Goldsberry with the incredible graphic of the shooting chart that was AM Crunch Wraps for all the misses.
That was going to be what gave it to him for me.
So James Harden, 3 for 16. Again, squeezed 17 points out of that lemon.
Yeah.
And took less shots than Josh Smith. So I either go with the graphic or I go with the numbers.
So James Harden, 3 for 16, 17 points, 4 assists, 3 rebounds. He did miss a free throw. He was 10 for 11. Embarrassing.
I mean,
I'm
Chuck, what do we do here? Do we go with the spirit of the award, which is Keith's just hardened love of statistics, or do we go with that beautiful AM Crunch Wrap by Goldsberry?
The Crunch Wraps. So you
vote for Harden? For the?
I love, only because it's our last chance to give Harden an award, I think, this week.
I'm torn on it.
Josh Smith taking 17 shots. Because
Josh Smith, 5 for 17, is abysmal.
That's really bad.
Oh, I think we got to give it to Jason Move.
And that was a close
game. Yes!
Real close.
He watching that game, he was probably the reason they lost.
So, James Harden, you're 3 for 16. You have been granted a reprieve.
Just barely.
Josh Smith, you are International Stackhouse of Pancake Award winner.
You belong.
Again. All right. Now our par fadeaway.
I guess we should talk about Warriors versus Cavs, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty much written in stone at this point. Now, look, no team has ever come back from 3-0, but if you can win, you know, 3 in a row against the Clippers, the Rockets have no chance. Never mind. It's going to be Cavs.
Yeah, we're contractually obligated to say no team's ever come back from 3-0. Let's give them their best chance by writing it in stone that they can't do it.
They will not do it, and in fact, will lose the next game.
Right. So, Warriors, Cavs. It has shades of me of the Sixers, Lakers playoffs, where the Lakers swept their way to the finals and then lost game one to Allen Iverson.
Right. Was that the Tyronn Lue step over game?
Yes.
Skip to Malou.
Yeah, that was the Tyronn Lue made himself some money game.
Yeah.
Or series.
Yeah.
Future Cavs head coach Tyronn Lue.
Right. I think the Warriors are going to win. I want to say sweep. I guess I'll go 5.
I don't see LeBron getting swept.
I saw LeBron lose in 5 last year, and I think it could happen. I think 4 games is quite possible for the Warriors. They are
the Warriors
a well-oiled machine.
Are going to score.
Yes.
Yeah. The Tristan Thompson grabbing all the rebounds trick is not going to work anymore.
No.
But Bogut and Draymond's averaging, you know, 12 boards a game.
This is not the super soft, heartless front court that is Millsap.
Broken Damari Carroll and Paul Millsap are not going to be guarding LeBron.
Right.
Huh. It's going to be
Draymond, Iguodala, Harrison Barnes.
You're going to see a lot
of Iguodala. Are going to be fresh.
48 minutes.
He will be harassed.
Yeah. He is going to cramp.
And
I'm telling you right now, that man is going to need electrolytes and fluid.
From a practical standpoint, Golden State's going in almost completely healthy, and Kyrie's looking a little gimpy, and LeBron's looking wore out. So
I thought there might have been a Chuck's turkey bacon conspiracy about, are they just resting Kyrie because they know
absolutely.
This is not a series?
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. They're not putting a bunch in.
It's not even really a conspiracy, I don't think.
No. It's pretty much
over. Yeah, just put in the Aussie boy. Tell him to dive at knees.
And I'm thrilled they're resting him because our only hope, in my mind, of an interesting finals,
decent finals
is Kyrie Irving being the Kyrie Irving we've seen glimpses of in the playoffs where he's, you know, 7 for 8 threes, that type of thing.
Yeah. I think it'll be Warriors in 6 because I think that between the 3 scorers that the Cavs have left over, which is Kyrie, LeBron, and J.R. Smith.
Well,
I think they'll steal a couple of games.
After the Warriors championship parade, how do they trade David Lee? How can they get rid of him? It's going to be hard.
As sweetly as possible.
As gently as possible, yeah. But their luxury cap is going to be incredible.
That's a pretty good problem. Useless piece to have from a perspective of his value.
Highest paid Warrior.
Yeah. He's perceived to be the highest valued, you know, guy that you can you know, dangle around. So that's a good look for them next year. Maybe they get a draft pick or something.
Give old Phil Jackson a call.
Give old Phil Jackson a ring-a-ding.
Hey, Philly.
Andre Bargnani, sign and trade.
Yeah.
All right. So thanks for listening to us. Check us out on Twitter at Fast Break Break. No Grizzlies epilogue this week. We're still licking our wounds and going to take our time off to let it all settle in and not say any rash things. But we'll be back next week with a primer on the off season and what things to look forward to, and some tips on how to speak intelligently about the salary cap and what players they could possibly get. Gentlemen, you have any closing words of wisdom or support?
Go Dubs.
I hate the Cavs.
Perfect. You guys have a good one. And remember, breakfast is the most important thing.